Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fecknell. Rick, Christmas is just around the corner.
It is.
Yeah, here we are sitting with these beautiful decorations in your home here today.
Well, I mean, Sully, the producer, the director does a very good job with decorations.
We haven't even got a tree up at home. Only tree is the one out the front.
It's just as well she's left the building.
No, I guess lack of motivation this year for us.
Well, I guess that she's left the building leaves us a little bit freer to make the odd comment or two.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so the producer is very much into Christmas.
Yes.
And she does a wonderful, job.
She does. Looking around here.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Now, I think we ought to kick off with the test match.
Got a new favourite number, Rick.
What's that?
36.
36?
Yep. It's my new lucky number.
Well, you won't believe that. Well, you will, because I can't believe, listeners, that Phil has become a cricket convert. I got a message. He's rung me on Saturday in amongst the Indian collapse, and he's so excited he's forgotten that I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, you were umpiring. Because I forgot that.
Because I was at Sandy Creek.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Dear me.
I tell you what, you should have seen Chris Harms's ball swinging away.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, in towards the slips and
cutting off the pitch?
Payne caught seven catches, 70-odd not out, man of the match.
Well,
India are gone, Rick.
Well, obviously, I wondered who was responsible for some of these sensational headlines in our newspapers, because I've always known, having played a bit of sport just like yourself, that, you know, it's almost like being a rock and roll star. You're a one-hit wonder, but boy, oh boy, cricket certainly fits into that category, because I think it's time that we reminded a few people that Australia actually was behind on the first innings. All right,
you know, they didn't look too good early, did they?
Well, we've got all these incredible headlines. There's one headline in The Australian, right, on the weekend, which big, bold, takes up half the page, Aussies collapse into disarray.
Oh, no. One in 3 days.
But there you go. Now, they also forget that we were not only behind on the first innings, but at one stage, we were 8 for 139. Now, at 8 for 139, I mean, it's, you know, drop catches is bad cricket, et cetera, et cetera. But it was the Indians' own fault that we weren't all out by then, because
They
dropped a lot of catches, including Labuschagne on the fence, etc. Now, getting to the credit side of it, it was Payne who rescued the side.
It was.
But, you know what, let's try and put this slightly into perspective by saying he's actually not in the top six batsmen. I think if we wound back our last show, I will admit, before you get to it, I did pick India to win.
$20 too, isn't it? That's the other part of that.
I think we need to wind that back. I don't think you'll find that there. But the argument that I used in picking India to win was that I was concerned about our six top batsmen. Now, in actual fact, the biggest mistake I made was being a bit concerned about India's top six batsmen in their second innings. But you can't say that Australia were convincing. They convincingly won the game, because they had three sensational quicks who bowled very well, and Nathan Lyon bowled reasonably well as well. But now you pick up the papers.
Well, I reckon what you're trying to say is, I reckon India were on top going into day three.
They were.
And they lost it in day three.
That's right.
They were on top.
That's right. I mean,
they only had to make a score, and where were euchred?
Exactly.
And they didn't.
And batting in the fourth, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the failure was the complete collapse of India's second innings. But your cricket knowledge is superb.
I tell you, Rick, I had a mate drive from Mildura, 330 km, to watch the third day's play.
Oh, no.
And he saw 2 hours of play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopped in his car and drove back to Mildura.
You're right. I mean, first of all, India should have led on the first innings by more than they did.
Yep.
bad, as I said already, bad fielding is bad cricket. But at 1 for 7 or whatever they were overnight, they only had to put together 200
and we were gone.
Now, okay, they make one of the lowest test scores. I think it's the equally fifth lowest test innings in the history of the game.
Yep.
Now, having said that, I think there is a more serious problem. To write India off right now, I think, is ridiculous. And, I mean, I must confess that I've never...
I think they've got injuries, though, too, now, haven't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could argue
couple got hit.
Yeah, you could argue that Australia's got some injuries as well. But, yeah. Now, you know, I've got all the respect in the world for whoever this journalist is. To be honest, I've never heard of him before, but his name's Sam Lansborough. Now, he's got a column in the Advertiser saying, India in crisis.
They're in crisis. What about Australia were?
Well, I tell you what.
I'm getting confused
beginning
here.
Beginning of day three, Australia were basically in crisis.
I reckon they were. They were gone, just about gone.
And struggling tourists set to make 5 changes for the test. Well, they may well make 5 changes. He's nominated a few. I won't go through them all. But, I mean, the very fact that they're going to probably bring in Gill, who will replace Kohli. Okay, you can't say it's light for light, but there's nothing wrong with Gill. Rahal to replace Shaw. Well, my argument would be that Shaw shouldn't have been in the side in the first place. Plant, who is the wicketkeeper who made hundreds against Australia last innings, why he wasn't picked in the first test.
Will he keep?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he'll keep as well.
And then, so anyway, so I don't think they're forced... You know, their change, obviously, with the skipper going, there's a one force change.
Yep.
And the fact that Sharmi's broken his arm.
Yeah.
But the guys that are talking about replacing him, they're both young kids, 20-odd or whatever. They bowl at 150 k's an hour. Now,
can they quicken that up a bit?
Well, the funny thing is that they haven't played test cricket. They are up-and-comers. And
so you should be someone,
somebody pointed out that how many teams in the world have got their, you know, first and second change bowlers bowling at 150? So, India in crisis, what a low. I mean, they may well come out on a different game, different situation. And I would suggest that it's basically a 50-50 game again.
Oh,
I really...
Look, absolutely. And they reckon what Warner could play, is that right?
Well, they say...
And the other guy, the other opener.
The Burns. Young fella. Oh.
The young fella. He got hit in the head.
Pekuski, yeah. He won't play.
Oh, he won't play?
No,
he... Because they're talking about Travie could be the one that goes.
Well, I don't... Right, the answer I think is... No, Will's been drawn a line
him.
He
will He won't play?
I don't think he'll play the whole test series.
Oh, okay.
Burns has obviously saved his soul. Now, I mean, you couldn't... To get out of your shocking run of low scores, you couldn't have... found a better scenario than to walk in and only have to get a few runs.
That's right.
No, good luck to him.
And he played it like a one day, really,
exactly,
didn't he?
Exactly, and probably that was good. So now the big problem is that if Warner comes in, someone has to go, right? Now,
well, it'd be Wade, wouldn't it?
Well, you see, you could argue that Wade did the team thing. Now, Green will definitely play, so someone has to go. It could be Travis. It could be Wade.
Mm.
My guess it's going to be one of those two. Yeah. Travis did not play well in his brief innings in Adelaide, but for some reason he seems to get the preferred nod. You know, Wade is the fighter. I mean, you know, the fact that he had never opened, was prepared to go up there and open, et cetera, et cetera. He was unbelievably unlucky to get out in the second innings when the balls ricocheted off
the guy's
short leg and back to the wicketkeeper.
And he's thrown it backwards.
And he's thrown it backwards between his legs and hit the stumps. Now, but so I don't think that's going to count against him. It's interesting to know what they're going to do. I think we've mentioned on the show Travis has been dropped from vice captain, probably makes it a bit easier if they do decide in the end to drop him. But it'll be an interesting. So the rest of the team picks it.
So. Yeah. Quickly, I was a bit disappointed. I think he's, as I think we had a quick talk the other day, Labuschagne. I think he's got ahead of himself a bit.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I've been, and I've gone on air to say it, I've been the greatest fan of Labuschagne.
Absolutely.
But same. It almost seems as though he's beginning to believe a bit of his own press, I think. He's getting a bit – I think you're right. He is a little bit – he's playing a bit like a cowboy.
Was that shot? We only had to make it another few runs.
Well that's
keep
right.
Keep your wicket.
But in the first innings, when he was dropped by Boomer on the boundary, I mean, you don't play a shot like that in the first half hour in a test match.
I don't know.
Anyway, yes. Before we leave the cricket,
yep.
I would just like, and we won't, I'm sure our listeners know it's one of my pet topics, I'll just make mention of it because it is associated. That total score in the Adelaide Test match is the lowest combined aggregate of a resultant Test match ever on Adelaide Oval.
Okay.
Now, okay, we've discussed it already. India only made a reasonable score, 240 or whatever it was. The best Australia could do would get 190. And they were, putting it bluntly, very lucky to get that far. And then India collapse, but lowest score ever.
Right.
Now, I say it's all to do with the ball. Now, I haven't got an argument too much in that many of the wickets fell during the night sessions. However, although I didn't see it, I only watched the dismissals, the Indian collapse, the ball was moving cutting.
It was moving off the...
And my question is, if that had been a day game with a red ball, would have the boys been able to do the same?
No.
Now, all I'm going to say is this...
We better get Chris Harms in to...
Well, we could have him in to discuss that.
We better have him as a special guest again,
yeah,
I think.
That's a good idea.
He's all over these balls, isn't
he? He is. The big question is that statistics don't lie.
Yeah.
And since the introduction of day-night games, the scores, the runs scored are dramatically lower.
Yep.
The common denominator is it's a pink ball. Sometimes it's nighttime batting, humidity, whatever. But the common denominator is the ball. They leave more grass on the track. You won't get that response on the MCG, I can promise you. Anyway, that's enough of the test match. I still reckon they're in with a chance, India. They really are.
So another 20? Double it up.
Now, Phil, you've been studying the AFL.
The AFL footies come out, the fixtures. Adelaide get Geelong in Adelaide. First game up.
They'd look forward to that, wouldn't they?
Says 0-1. Second game, off to Sydney. Ooh, coronavirus capital.
Well, that may well be played here, depending on...
Won't make any difference. There'll be 0-2.
There's a strong call. What about the Mighty
Port?
Power?
Port?
Yes?
There'll be 1-0. North Melbourne
at Marvel Stadium.
Won't make any difference. We could play them in Sandy Creek and we'll beat them. Port and Essendon. Essendon lost a lot of players.
There seems to be a somewhat discontent.
Two zip.
There seems to be a season of discontent in the Essendon clubhouse.
Two zip.
Yes. They've got a coach, haven't they?
Rutton. He's playing fullback, I think. He picked himself.
Well, I'm
Adelaide might get their first win. I don't know, though. Gold Coast.
Well,
in Adelaide.
Now, you see, that's interesting because although Gold Coast did their normal trick by the end of the season, they started off, I think they won their first.
They were in the top. Four. Well, yeah, top couple.
Yeah. So that might, I mean, I've got a lot of time for Stewie June.
I don't mind him. I used to like him as a player too.
Two premiership player.
Port probably come to earth on the third match, Rick. We go to Perth to play West Coast. Always a tough
That could be a reality strike.
And then we got Richmond. Could be two and two. Two from two.
It could be.
I mean, it's early days, isn't it? But I think Port. They haven't lost anybody, and they picked up a lad from West Torrens, and he's evidently the best thing since sliced bread. So I mean, they've got to be around the mark again.
Oh, they'll be competitive, but I mean, I think it's an error to assume that because they finished, as it were, second or third, and were, yep, you know, on top of the ladder the whole season, that they just pick up from there. I hope I'm wrong, because I'm a Port supporter at this moment in time.
Really? Oh, he's back. He is back.
But Port's track record after a good season,
yeah, I know,
following it up, is not good.
Mm.
We've
got to start winding this up.
Yes. We're
16 minutes in.
Yes.
Johnny Butcher off to Hamley Bridge.
What?
Yep, they're going to get their first win.
Yes.
When it finally kicks off. 60-odd days or something of footy or...
They must have a salary cap.
Where's the salary cap? Hey?
Now... Will he kick any goals?
One goal, eight. That's what he used to kick for us.
Johnny Butcher.
The future. That's what they called him, the future.
I tell you what, Port believed in him for a while, didn't they?
They finally found their senses.
And where is he going?
Hamley Bridge, yep. So Hamley is sticking their fingers in their pockets again for a little bit of money, and Johnny's out there.
They must have some money out there.
His last game of footy at Central, six goals.
Really?
Yeah, he kicked six in the last match for Centrals in the league side. Look at that.
Well, he's found out how to do it.
Well, probably six goals, eight or something.
Oh, Phil.
While we're on the salary cap.
Yes, Rick? Salary cap.
Yep.
Now, listen, a very successful multimillionaire was also the president of a struggling AFL club. One day he came up with a genius idea to get around the salary cap. The club's experienced veteran rover was coming to the end of his existing contract, and now the president personally offered him half a share in his own furniture business if the player would accept a hefty pay cut. "I see where you're coming from," the rover said. "Give me the contract." So pen was put to paper, and then the president added, "Now, to keep this above the board with the AFL, I'm going to need you to come down to the factory and learn a little bit about how the operation works." "Oh, you've got to be joking." "I don't go near factories," the rover said. "Can't stand that noisy bloody noise and carry on."
Yep, machines.
I see," muttered the president. "Well, we'll have to put you in the head office. You can do some clerical work." "Oh, you've got to be joking, mate. I'm a footballer. Just thinking about doing time behind a desk makes me go crook." The president was totally exasperated. "What am I going to do with you then?" he cried. "You could buy me out," the wily rover replied.
There you go, folks. So finished on the salary cap.
Well, he was, and he not the silliest rover going around. Well, I guess it's time to wish all our listeners a very Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. I would invite you to sing it, but I think... I think we'd lose every listener we've ever had. So, all right, until next year, I guess.
We'll sneak one in next week.
All right, so have a very Merry Christmas, everyone. Bye.
Bye.